Bruce Marshall, editor of Goal Sheet, joins me each and every Thursday at 8 o'clock on the Mighty 1090. Bruce, welcome. How are you tonight?
Hey, John. Pretty good. How you doing?
I'm doing well. Hey, I wanted to revisit a conversation you and I had a little bit last week, and maybe you can add a little bit more to it, because I know it's been sprouting legs a little bit this week. The initial story came down from the Big Ten that they were looking at freshmen not being able to compete at the varsity level, you know, their first year in college. And you know, if it was only one conference, you know, it would kill them in recruiting, I would think. But your thoughts on that, and what have you been hearing?
I think now, John, there's a completely different set of circumstances here. And I stepped back and looked at it, and I talked to some other people about it, and we decided, and a lot of us now think that Jim Delaney has a completely, and the Big Ten has a completely different mindset about this that really doesn't relate much to, you know, the freshman eligibility as a realistic thing that's going to happen soon. It's more of a threat and more of an answer to the marketplace here that is changing dramatically in college sports. And with so much money going on right now and so much money flowing through the college game, I think there is a real fear on the part of a lot of administrators that the players and their continuing the college athletes now trying to get a piece of the action. This could completely alter the way college sports divvies everything up, and it's a real fiefdom now for those schools, and the Big Ten is right at the forefront of that for raking in the money. So what I think Delaney is actually thinking is that if he can get enough other conferences to go along with him, this might be a way to, one, circumvent the players doing something, and by that, the players are organizing and asking for a piece of the pie. This would force the NBA and the NFL to really come up with a minor league system similar to what they have in baseball, and to give the players a choice coming out of college here, coming out of high school, to go right into the sport like they do in baseball, or like which they have the option to do in baseball, or go into colleges. And we'll see about the freshman thing at that point. But I think what Delaney is thinking is that they want to develop something that insulates the schools and the conferences from having to kick back a lot of this money eventually to the players, because I think they believe that's the way the court rulings are going, and they think they may be able to circumvent that somewhat if they change the dynamics and they give the athletes another option coming out of high school to participate in pro sports. And I think that's part of the thought, because there's no way they can implement this. It would be suicide for the Big Ten if they went lone wolf on this, and they'd lose out on all the recruits, and it would destroy athletically in football and basketball the conference. So that's not what they're thinking. I think they're thinking about something else down the road.
Bruce, you and I are a guy that live and breathe sports. I mean, that's what we love doing aside from our family. It's not only our job, it's our hobby. And I'm looking at what you're talking, I'm just saying to myself, you know, really, it's gotten to the point where college football and college basketball have almost gotten too big and almost too out of control.
They have, John, and the big schools now have got such, you know, there's so much money that they make, especially on the football side now, and even in the college ranks themselves. I mean, there's a lot of schools in the Mountain West and elsewhere that do not turn a profit with football, that lose a lot of money. I know UNLV. I mean, it's a tough go here. Same thing at Reno. I know it's the same thing upstate from where I am, and a lot of other spots around the Mountain West. It's tough. And a lot of others goes for the Sun Belt. This goes for the MAC. This goes for Conference USA. We just saw UAB, you know, shut down its program this year. But the big schools, there's a lot of money made by the big schools here, and I think, you know, you're going to see, you know, these sorts of moves. And I really think this is what Delaney is thinking about. They're trying to figure out some way to insulate themselves somewhat and protect the players from coming after a lot of the money. And according to Delaney, or at least this is what my read and other people we talk to, he believes if they can get this sort of thing implemented, it would circumvent the players trying to, you know, get all the money through the courts and giving them another option. And really, you think about it, it makes some sense to get the NFL and the NBA really involved. Baseball does it a great way, you know, and, you know, it's a completely different system that baseball has. And the NFL's been getting a free ride for a long time on college football. And maybe it's time the NFL steps up and tries to implement something the way Major League Baseball does.
And we're visiting with Bruce Marshall, talking college football and college basketball on the Mighty 1090, editor of GoldSheet.com. Bruce, let's jump over a little bracketology right now. The number ones from a week ago, pretty much still in place?
Except for Gonzaga. I think Gonzaga is pretty much out now, John, or down to a two. And I think Villanova has probably taken the spot of Gonzaga now in the bracket as on the one line. So I think right now that's a big change from last week. Villanova's probably in there as a one. I think you still got two ACC teams there, Virginia and Duke. And you've also got Kentucky, obviously, which is going to be staying at the on the number one line all the way into Selection Sunday. So I think that's been the big change from last week. And Gonzaga now on the two line. Practically speaking, for Gonzaga, I think that removes the chance you'll see Gonzaga and Arizona. A lot of people were hoping they'd be 1-2 in the West, but that's not going to be the case now, I don't think. And Gonzaga, I think, is more likely to get sent out of the West region completely, although it probably stays in sub-regional weekend almost surely in Seattle or Portland, a couple of nice, conveniently located sub-regional spots for Gonzaga.
Last week you had Boise State, a 12 seed, playing Michigan State, who would be a 5 seed. Boise State won a couple of games since, a critical road game here at Viejas Arena against San Diego State. And, you know, a lot of people didn't have them in the bracket last week before that game. So you already had them in. Now with a couple of more wins, they got an opportunity to close out the regular season at home against Fresno State. Regardless of what happens the rest of the way, you think Boise's in?
I think they are right now. I've got them at a 10 in the new one I just did tonight, and I just sent that one over to you guys there to take a look at in an email. And I think Boise's a 10. I'd put them on the 10 line right now, and I'd have CSU on the 9 line. And that puts three Mountain West teams in the tournament for me. I think, though, when you look at this thing, and I step back, I've only got three Pac-12s in there right now. And you wonder, will the selection committee really give as many berths to the Mountain West as the Pac-12 this season? And I think about that for a minute, and I'm not sure. UCLA and Stanford, I think right now, are still on the wrong side of the cut line. We'll see what happens after the conference tournaments. But at this moment, I think Boise and Colorado State have done enough to get in there. And with the Aztecs, I think there's a good chance you can get three Mountain Wests in the tournament.
Hey, West Coast Conference with BYU going into the McCarthy Athletic Center the other night, beating Gonzaga. They've had another solid year. Do the BYU Cougars get in right now?
Right now I've got them at a 12 in one of the at-large play-in games. So I think that was the win they needed. That was a marquee win for BYU. And I think for the moment that puts the Cougars in a pretty good spot. Now, they're going to have to, I think, advance all the way to the finals of the West Coast Conference Tournament, which will be coming up Monday night here in Las Vegas at the Orleans Hotel. They're going to probably have to play St. Mary's before they get to Gonzaga again. And that would be a banana peel that could still slip BYU out of the field and back into the NIT. But if they can get to the final, if they beat Gonzaga, of course, then they're in. But I think the Cougs are going to be pretty safe if they can at least make the WCC final, and I think they'll slip in there as one of the last at-larges, though they may have to go to Dayton for that first play-in round, the first four in Dayton.
Hey, Bruce, when Larry Brown took the job at SMU prior to last season, I kind of, you know, hemmed-hawed. You know, I've always loved Larry Brown. I think he's a great coach, but, you know, he's in his 70s now. I'm saying, you know, he's got all the money in the world. He's got a beautiful wife. Why would he want to continue to coach? He's done a great job at SMU. Right now, they're sitting at 23-6 overall. They're tied with Tulsa for first place in the American Conference at 14-3. How do you look at that conference right now?
Well, it's interesting because you've got those two. You've got Temple and Cincinnati. I think you could get four out of that league, and I think there's a chance UConn can get involved in this thing too. Now, I'm not sure you can get to five. UConn would have to win its conference tournament. Now, that, though, is a distinct possibility because the Huskies beat SMU last Sunday, looks like they're getting in stride again. Rodney Purvis, the transfer from North Carolina State, had a big game. Ryan Boatwright's been waiting all year for Purvis to come up big. And the tournament is in Hartford. This is right in Connecticut's backyard. And we know UConn has stepped it up in the postseason. They certainly did last year, a little bit different team. But I think there's a chance UConn could end up winning that tournament. That might knock Temple out. That might knock Tulsa out. The committee members will tell you that has no bearing. They don't look at it at conferences like that. They look at the whole field. But I think they do look at the conferences. I don't think you're going to – that may be a bad deal for a Temple or a Tulsa, which I think are the two most at-risk teams beyond SMU and Cincinnati right now. But in that tournament, keep an eye on UConn next week because that is being held in its backyard in Hartford.
You know, Saturday night, last Saturday was awesome. I was disappointed my granddaughter's softball game got rained out. I didn't have a soccer's game that night. I watched 7 different basketball games, and the last one I watched was a late night, 9 o'clock tip-off, Irvine. Playing up at Santa Barbara. Santa Barbara hung on for the win. UC Davis right now entering play at 12-2 in the Big West Conference. You got Irvine at 10-4 and UC Santa Barbara at 10-5. The conference tournament winner is going to move on. But did you have in your bracket, do you have UC Davis in?
I do. I have them as the winner of the Big West. But I'll tell you what, you mentioned, and they have had a great year. And by the way, this is the best three-point shooting team in the country by a good margin. I mean, they're hitting about 45% beyond the arc, and nobody else is beyond 41.5%. So they're the best shooting team in the country from long range. And Hersey Hawkins' son, Corey, is really putting up great numbers. However, you mentioned Santa Barbara. Since the big sauce, Alan Williams, came back from the shoulder injury, Santa Barbara's looked really good. Consecutive wins over Davis, Irvine, and then Hawaii last night, 3 of the top contenders in the league. So I dare say going into Anaheim next week at the Honda Center, maybe you see Santa Barbara's a slight favorite in that tournament. They, like I said, just beat Davis last week up at the Thunderdome. With Alan Williams there, they're quite a – it really changes the dimensions there because he is the best player interior force in that league. One note of caution. Last year in the Big West tournament, you had teams seeded 5, Northridge, and 7, Cal Poly, get to the final, and it was Cal Poly that actually won the thing as a 7 seed. So it's kind of an up-in-the-air tournament, though this year I think Santa Barbara, Davis, and Irvine look like the three teams to beat.
Yeah, Alan Williams is a beast. I mean, they list him at about 6'8", about 255. He had 15 against Irvine on Saturday night. He's definitely an NBA prospect.
He is. Real classic power forward there. He plays mostly with his back to the basket, so I'm wondering how that's going to translate if he's big enough. But he rebounds like a machine. I mean, he's a double-double machine. And he really attacks the glass. He's a ferocious rebounder, and he really has made an impression in the Big West, a great 4-year player up there at Santa Barbara for Bob Williams.
Hey, did you go out and watch UNLV take on the Aztecs last night?
I did not, but I did watch it on the television last night, and it was a grinder like we thought, like all those games usually are between the Aztecs and the Rebels. And the Aztecs usually win the close decision, and that was what we saw last night. There was one development I thought was really encouraging for the Aztecs was hitting some free throws late. And I know that's been a problem all season long, but if they can hit some free throws, I mean, it's certainly going to help them. They figure to be in a lot of close games, not only this next week at the Mountain West tournament, but in the big dance as well. So that's a plus for San Diego State. For the Rebels now, John, they're going to have to play in the play-in round Wednesday of the Mountain West tournament, probably against Nevada, and the other game will have Air Force against New Mexico. So Dave Rice, he's going to have to win 4 games in 4 days if UNLV wants to steal this tournament. And the thinness on that roster right now without Rashad Vaughn and a few others, I just don't think UNLV is deep enough to make a run in the tournament.
I will tell you, I was really impressed with UNLV last night. They've got 7 scholarship players and a walk-on or two. They played with a tremendous amount of heart last night, and they played their tail off.
They did. Boy, I like Cody Doolin. You know, he's a transfer from USF. He was a very important guy for Coach Rice to get in there because they lost a lot of players after last year, and he really needed a veteran presence because there's a lot of kids on that team. lot of youngsters, and Doolin has really been kind of the glue. Chris Wood, the 6'11 sophomore, some people think he could be a lottery pick, and there's word that he's probably going to come out, and we'll see about Rashad Vaughn. Unfortunately, he's hurt right now, Vaughn. So, yeah, you're seeing a Vegas team that is very depleted, but hanging in there, what they've got left, they've got some good quality there. And they're dangerous in this tournament. I don't think anybody's that much better than anybody else in the Mountain West this year. So who knows? They could get hot over a few days, and they'll have a puncher's chance here at the Thomas and Mack next week.
Okay, let me ask you a question. You're putting up some new bracketology right now?
Yeah, I just sent an email over to you, and that'll be at our new edition of the Gold Sheet Hoops, which will be up there a little bit later tonight. But we do have a new we have the new brackets. I'll have an actual – the matchups, I'll redo those on Sunday, but I just have them by line right now, the ones, twos, threes, and fours, and so forth.
Okay, and those are updated as of tonight's games?
Yes. Yes, as of tonight's games, yeah.
All right, great. Bruce, tell everyone everything you and the Gold Sheet have to offer.
Yeah, thanks, John. Like we said, the new edition of the Gold Sheet, we got our new brackets up there. Now I'm going to have matchups for the brackets on Sunday. That'll be the last time we do it before March Madness, the selection Sunday. But we're getting into tournament time, and we're starting to analyze the tournaments. And in a week and a half is our big blowout issue, first big dance, big issue. And we also do the rounds, the NIT, CBI, CIT. It is like nothing you've ever seen for college hoops. That's a week from Monday. Goldsheet.com, 800-798-GOLD. Check us out. And like I said, we're covering college hoops twice per week all the way through the tournament.
Thanks. You got a lot of basketball to watch this coming week over in Vegas, my friend.
I'll be doing an on-site report from one of these tournaments next Thursday night for you, John. Not sure which one I'll be at, but I'll be at one of them.
All right. Take care, Bruce.
Thank you, John.
There you go. Bruce Marshall, editor of GoldSheet.com.